Yeah.
It's still a Vistosa. It's still a Vistosa. Still a Vistosa.
All right, OC. We're going to give some season's greetings to the podcast listeners. We're going to give them some love over the holidays so they don't think we forgot about it.
Jason, you got to give the people what they want.
You got to give them what they want.
You must.
So we're going to give them a gift, OC. It's going to be a bonus hashtag ask OSI, as I call him, OC, OSI.
You hear me crunching?
Yeah. And hashtag J-Bell. So we're going to clear out a little bit of our mailbag because it's backed up, Simon said. It's backed up like other things in life.
Oh, my goodness
what?
Gracious.
What? I'm talking about.
Is it what? What happened? What happened?
I'm talking about, you know.
Oh, no. We know what you're talking about, J-Bell.
If any sponsor wants to do, toiletry things, I'm always willing to listen. Okay, that's enough info. All right. OC, you ready?
Let's do it.
Tom Stewart, a Super Bowl at Wembley.
Mm.
What are you saying?
I'm saying, Tom, that although that is a fantastic idea, the odds of that happening are about the same odds of me being a vegan again.
I'm gonna go against you. I think it can happen.
Jason,
when? How long? What's the time period?
30 years, maybe.
Aww.
30 years, maybe. Listen, the Super Bowl is an American tradition.
Okay.
Would they have the FA Cup in United States of America? There would be a revolution.
There you go, OC. Sometimes I don't agree with you, and then I agree with you in the same sentence. This is one of them.
Thank you.
Got it.
Not happening.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said at the beginning, OSI, because That's my law firm that represents me, OSI law firm.
Definitely.
And now you're figuring out.
I would love for it to happen.
Yeah.
We would all love for that to happen.
Yeah.
It would be an incredible thing for the sport. It's not happening no time soon.
We would love it. So, Is this from, who is?
You know what? I want to ask you a question, Jason.
Okay.
All you do is ask me questions. Just throw questions at me. I want to ask you a question.
There you go. There's one for you, and there's two for you. Okay, this one, let me come with this one and you go next. This is from an anonymous podcastian.
Okay.
I'm coming to London in February with the missus and want to show her a good time.
Okay.
Can you recommend some must-see sites and restaurants?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. P.S. Don't recommend Harrods.
Oh. Okay.
As Mrs. K may expect a 2,000-pound sweater. At least he's smart.
At least he's smart.
He knows not to go into certain environments.
Okay.
That's a good one.
We're going to hit you with places to see.
Places to see.
Places to eat. You want to go check out our friends over there at Chilton Firehouse.
Yeah, if you can get in there, it's really cool.
Yeah, if you can. You see, the most important thing you just said, if you can get in there.
If you can get in there, it's
that's cool.
It's good.
What's that restaurant we went to up on top of the Shard? Hutong.
Oh, man.
Anything, you want to go check out
anything
Hutong?
Anything on the Shard up there is amazing.
Yeah, great restaurant.
By the way, I can say all these things because OC pays everywhere we go.
I do.
It's such good. I pull out my card. I'm not that
Jason
guy.
Jason has. You ever seen somebody with alligator arms when the bill comes? That's Jason. Get short.
For some reason,
like I can't
the bill
reach.
Comes. I'm always in the bathroom.
I can't reach.
I don't know what it is. I come out and it's paid, and it's just miraculous.
You want to check out Jerk Kitchen?
Oh,
it's a Caribbean restaurant. You know, all good food. Rum Kitchen also. What else? What else we got?
I'm not sure you're into many museums, but they are free, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of really cool ones. I like art, so you can that's a way to save some money because I'm looking out for you.
Yeah.
And you can spend a lot of time in there. So next thing you know, the whole day's over. You haven't spent anything.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. So do that. Do all that.
Yeah. Stay out of Harrods, or you can walk by it.
Yeah. Just don't. If you go into Harrods.
Yeah.
If something doesn't have a price, just know it's not for you.
It's on you, OC. Your friend.
Yeah, is this my first question ever?
This
is the first question I get to ask.
All right, I don't like this.
Yeah, and here we go. This is from Dratman. We now know that had OC not got a school detention, he wouldn't have played in the NFL.
Oh, man,
and more importantly, not met Jay Bell.
This is important.
So, ask Jay Bell, what was the moment that changed everything for you?
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Man, that's a tough one. Let me think. I just gotta swing it, right?
It didn't, you know, you were just always, no. You know, nothing. You just weren't lucky. Your stuff just kind of happened, whereas mine was just the luck of the draw. How did things, what was the moment that changed everything for you, J-Bell?
Transferring high schools.
Hmm.
I went from one high school to another, the one I transferred to, Long Beach Poly, which has the most players in the NFL. At that time, I had received, you know, my team wasn't good, I was on. And I went to this, to the high school. It's where my mom actually went. Went out on the field with the head coach who was well-respected, knew everybody.
Mm.
And he put me on the field and brought every wide receiver out. My friend was the starting quarterback. And he threw routes against me for about an hour.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I did good. This is going into my senior year of high school. He goes and he gets on the phone. And he calls schools and goes, hey, this is the best corner I've seen in this many years.
Wow.
OC, it all changed.
That's crazy.
UCLA, he took me up to, they used to do those camps at colleges. He takes me up there to Terry Donahue, the head coach. He said, this is the kid I'm talking about.
Mm.
They take me up. Remember Ralph Brown?
Yes.
Me and Ralph Brown were the number one and number two corners in California at that time.
Really?
And they take me and Ralph Brown.
Did Ralph go to UCLA?
Ralph went to Nebraska.
Nebraska, that's right.
And they made us cover all these other kids, and we shut everybody down.
Mm.
UCLA goes in, and the coach says to me, looks me in the eyes, he goes, I'm not even recruiting you this year. You have a scholarship. I hadn't even started my senior year.
That's crazy.
Now, I was the same player, but it took one person with power, kind of in your situation, to make a call on my behalf. And that changed as far as me getting into college,
yeah.
Like, and being able to go to UCLA. Things happened after that.
Yeah.
But when I look back, it was that simple thing.
That did everything. That
it just, it all changed. I don't know. I mean, all of a sudden the world just exploded just because a guy who had, you know, the credibility made a call for me.
You know what I find crazy? Like, even as you just told this story, about how in high school, right?
Yep.
In high school, the guys who make it to college to play football.
Yes.
Are the very best. I'm talking about the dogs.
You're the best.
You're the best. And you go to college. I'm talking about even low colleges.
Yes. You
now,
are the best.
When you get to the NFL, we've been there. And you see players, right? And this always used to trip me out, right? You see players out there on the field, and you're like, this guy sucks,
yeah.
Right? But what you fail to realize is this guy was the best player in college.
The best.
The man. You know how good you have to be to look at somebody who was the best player in college and be like, this guy should be out. That's madness.
And our listeners should know this. When you see a guy in the pros that's that much more dominant than pros.
Incredible.
This is what you're dealing with. This is the elite.
Elite of the elite.
Athleticism that you're dealing with. That a guy can stand out with the standouts.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
Craziness.
I don't know how I got away with it that long, to be honest.
Yeah.
I should have been exposed.
Nah, you just said it, man. You were the best in California.
Man.
Like, do you know what that means to be the best in a whole state?
Man.
The best in a whole state at a position?
Man.
Talk less of being the best in the world at the deep. For a while there, Jason, for a while there, I could legitimately say at the defensive end position, I was the best player in the world.
You were.
That's madness.
It doesn't. It's ridiculous. How
in the world?
It takes a lot to get there. It's scary because then you think about how quick it could have not have existed.
Yeah.
I just that these questions. Got
I'm mad.
I gotta stop with that because it's oh my gosh, crazy.
Yeah, where are we going now?
All right, let's ask Jermaine.
Mind blowing.
Jermaine. In 2020, some big names are out of a contract. So he's talking about Brady, he's talking about Breeze, he's talking about Big Ben, Eli, and Rivers. Who will stick around and who will ride into the sunset? Ooh, I like this part. Mm-hmm. And feel the uprise.
Mm.
Jermaine, I like that. That I was like flavorful.
That's a good question.
That was. So Brady will be cool.
I think they all need to go sit down.
No.
I think they do.
Nah.
After 2020, we're in 2018 now.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
After 2019, after 2020, come on, man. You talking about these guys would have played 20 years apiece by that time.
Okay.
And I feel like they need to go sit down.
I think Breeze will be okay. Eli will be gone. Rivers is a question mark. What do you think about Brady or Big Ben?
Brady's gonna hang on until he can't.
I think Brady will be around.
Yeah, Brady's gonna hang on until he can't. But the question, what I answered wasn't should they, like will they?
Yeah.
Should they was what I answered.
Oh, okay.
Should they? And I feel like at 2020.
Yeah, I think they'll all be either transitioning a new guy in. Maybe they're on the roster and they've got another guy, or a lot of this is injuries, man. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's hard to recover.
Come on, man. Like these
that's
guys,
hard. That's a hard
these
one,
guys, man. Just, I mean, come on, man. Listen, have you seen Brady? Have you seen him right now? Have you looked at his face? Listen, no, I'm serious. This, and I've always thought Tom Brady was a very handsome guy.
Right.
I've always thought that. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's doing Botox. I'm serious.
Oh, my God.
I feel like now.
Jermaine, why did you ask this?
No, it's the truth. I've always felt like he was a hand. But now when I'm looking at his face, I'm like.
He said the man's doing Botox.
No, his face is getting that frozen, you know, when you start doing the. You're so.
Ooh.
If you're in the NFL
You've been in the league too long.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway. Why do people do that to themselves anyway, that Botox thing? Just on a side note, why do people do that to themselves?
I mean, because you've talked about this in a previous podcast. I mean, it's one of those things where it's follow the leader. You know what's funny?
Yeah.
Truth be told,
yeah.
I promise this. I've always thought something highly attractive about women in each age period.
Yes.
I think as they grow older, and especially as you are getting older,
yeah,
all that is great. Like the things, I mean, it's just beautiful. The nature of it, right?
100%.
I think the beauty in age is as important as the seasons. The seasons.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Thank you, because it was a very touch-and-go subject. I needed you to wheel me out of that.
If I didn't, I would be like, Jason, I don't know what you're talking about.
I
get it.
I love the fall. I just don't want it to be summer all the time.
And on top of that, to me, do people really think that looks better than the natural aging process?
People are tripping.
Like looking like that, looking like your face is just frozen, like.
Yeah,
do they think that looks better than that? Because to me, it just doesn't.
No, I'm not into it. I wouldn't want that on my plate.
No.
But anyway.
Just let's just age, man. Come on. Yeah. Let's just age. Inside, you can feel young,
I still feel 18.
It is what it is.
Especially when I have a couple drinks. But
you want to ask one? Man, I want a drink, man.
You want a drink?
Yeah. You know I don't really drink.
Of course I know you don't really drink.
I know you don't know that.
Ask me something like that.
No, when I was in Brazil, I had a beer.
Uh-huh. Brazilian beer?
No, it was a Budweiser, oddly enough. And I said to myself, I kind of like the taste of this beer. Maybe my taste buds are maturing. Because I couldn't stand the taste of alcohol. Like, I was like, ugh.
I used to force you to drink.
Yeah.
You were like, just give me anything, J-Bell. I was like, you got to have a drink.
But when I drank that beer, I was like, this tasted kind of good.
This is good.
Okay.
This is good.
Okay.
I like this.
Yeah, all right.
Because out of this crew, I'm the one who drinks.
Yeah, you go hard.
And yeah, you go hard.
You go hard.
Okay, we have, this is the last question. We got our last question. Oh,
already?
So, yeah, I know. Right. We would have kept going. Mm-hmm. And it's from our producer.
Okay.
Simon.
Okay. Why did your voice like trail off like that? Like
it's just the holidays.
The holidays, okay.
That's the appreciative voice.
Okay.
What are your New Year's resolutions or hopes and ambitions for 2019? Of course, Simon would ask something
like that.
As thought provoking as this. Okay. Is this why he's a good producer?
Yeah, this is why.
Thought provoking. Thought provoking.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Simon. Since you want to go there. You came to the right place, buddy.
Oh, you want to come in here? Come on, the door's open.
You came to the right place, buddy. What do I want? I'll tell you what I want. I want, and this is a very touchy mm-hmm. subject.
Resolutions, hopes, ambitions, wants, all that.
Touchy. I want for the Black American, the Black Brazilian, the people in the Caribbean, I want them to reconnect with Africa.
Oh, man, it's heavy.
That's what I want. Mentally. Physically, I know it's an impossibility for them to come back to where they were taken from. But mentally, I want them to reconnect and start to see what needs to be done. Because Black people have been fractured. We've been apart. And for some reason, we just don't identify with each other. And the fact that I've lived as a Black man, as a Black British, as a Black Brit, I've lived as a Black American. I've lived as a Nigerian. I can see things from all these different perspectives. And I see the way we all look at each other with fear and misunderstanding. Mm. And
Interesting.
I grew up in Nigeria, and we would think of Black Americans as thugs because that's what was shown to us. And when I came over to America, we would say, oh, you African booty scratcher, you African this. And then, you know, like we see each other so differently. But what we don't realize, and the thing that I've been able to realize, is we are all the same.
Self-sabotage.
And I just want to find a way to bring that back together, which is part of what the Uprise is about.
What's crazy is, man, you know, my daughter's half Irish, mm-hmm. but I always loved the fact that when she goes back to where her mom's from, the culture, the history,
yeah.
you know, her grandparents on the side and the connection with that. And I've always felt that, though I have a great family, that the history,
yeah.
you know, I didn't have that connection yeah. to that. And I'm so happy my daughter has it.
Yeah.
And jealous to
it's
some
amazing,
extent.
Amazing, right?
Right? So yeah. I totally get that. Man, that's moving. But there's something so positive about being able to create historically to your past.
Yeah.
And I think that everyone who has that in their family environment, they understand what we're saying and we're coming from a good place because it's a great thing. And this helps society as a whole become more tolerant and understanding of each other because of those connections.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's big. Man, what would I say? I don't even know how to follow that, except, I mean, what would I do? You know, I think...
You're emotional right
well,
now.
Well, it's it means a lot, because I always
that.
Thought about my... When I think about my daughter, you know, I just... A lot of things you want for...
You want that for yourself.
Right. Well, yeah, there's a reason why you want it. Yeah. I would say me and OC read a ton of books.
Yeah.
And we share a lot of our reading. We're going to start a book club eventually. I don't know how this is going to happen. Simon will be working 82 hours a day. You know, OC had told me something about myself that made me think about really just being aware of things. And I'm reading so a lot of things I've been reading is all about kind of being very aware of yourself. So I always... My resolution is to continue to be very self-aware and very tolerant. Very self-aware, tolerant, and understanding that, not that I think this, but sometimes you can put yourself in a position where you think the world revolves around you, or people are expected to do things, you know, in a way, you know, they're not doing it the way you want it to be done. You just got to realize this is not about me, you know, and it makes the world a much better place. Yeah. And I think if all of us would just understand that, hey, everybody's on their same path, on their own individual path. Nobody's really out to get you.
I like that.
And so I think if I can focus on myself and continue to do that, then maybe that impacts others that I have dealings with.
I like that, J-Bo.
So, you know, I tell you what, man, shout out to all you listeners, because me and OC truly, and I'm not speaking for him, but I am, and he will cut me off if he doesn't agree with what I'm saying. Man, we really appreciate y'all. This is so
fun. Some more than others.
Yes. Hey, man, keep it going. Keep us motivated. We're in this together. We are in this together, and that's what makes this so fly. We love football together, but we love life, man.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Uprise. I don't need